Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host, Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and three things up for review this week. First up is the new Prime Video series Fallout, based on the video game. Then there's the new Alex Garland film Civil War. And finally, the romantic music, drama, comedy, all the things in once, romantic journey film The Greatest Hits. First up is the new Prime Video series Fallout, and you know I am excited about a show when I lead with it in the reviews, because it is so rare that I'm like, we must talk about this up front. So this is based on the video game series, which effectively takes place after nuclear fallout, so it's post-apocalyptic, you know. Video game adaptations as a whole have had a pretty checkered history when it comes to going from game to screen. You know, I think of late we've had a few really strong contenders, like something like The Last of Us, of course, is a really good example, but Fallout to me, and you know, maybe it's just me, but it's less about the story when it comes to the game itself. The cinematics and the storyline of The Last of Us is really such a driving force. Fallout is a bit broader. So when they said they were making it into a series, I was like, okay, I guess, like, have fun. And wow, I had so much fun watching this show. And I think the really great thing about it is that it is inclusive of an audience who doesn't have to be familiar with the game, but it has so many nods to super fans. Like, the tone of the show can be really fun, you know, sometimes incredibly violent. And the other thing I found enjoyable about it compared to, let's say, A Last of Us, and this is just a personal preference, you know, I talk a lot about how I'm not the biggest fan of scary movies and scary shows just because I get really frightened and like, and sometimes don't sleep. So Last of Us, I had to watch early in the morning for the next morning. I had to make sure I didn't get spoiled, but I just couldn't watch it in the dark alone. I think tonally, Fallout still has its scares, still has its action, but it has a lot of humor that I really enjoyed. And they're different things, right? They're not trying to be each other, but I think there are going to be a lot of comparisons between the two because they are both excellent video game adaptations, which is a delightful thing to get to talk about. So Ella Purnell stars as a character named Lucy. This isn't a huge spoiler, but she lives in a Fallout bunker along with her father, played by Kyle MacLachlan, and her brother, played by Moises Arias. And a set of circumstances, you know, forces her out into the world, the scary Wild West of the above grounders. The rest of the cast includes Walton Goggins, Aaron Moten, Sarita Chowdhury, Michael Emerson, Leslie Uggams, Johnny Pemberton, Francis Turner, and Zach Cherry. And I think everyone was really well cast and worked together really cohesively. The director for the majority of it is Jonathan Nolan, of course, brother of Chris Nolan, and creative force behind Westworld as an adaptation. His wife, Lisa Joy, is a producer on this as well. You know, and I think he was definitely able to take those Western skills and apply them to Fallout because the Wild West of up above, etc. You know, I thought the production value is excellent. If you're familiar with the games, you know there's this sort of like 50s, boy howdy, the atomic bomb is coming, but things are just fine kind of tone to it and design and visual language that they do a really good job of translating over. And then, of course, you have this post-apocalyptic world, you know, above ground. The lore of it gets a little lore-ish, and it doesn't go into too much detail. I think they really did find the right balance of how much from the games are we going to go into that, you know, super fans will be like, oh, okay, good, they mentioned this. And how much are we going to balance that with trying to allow somebody who has never even heard of or didn't even realize that this was based on a game to be welcomed into this world? And I had such a good time watching the show. I sincerely hope season two is already in production or they're talking about it and on the way. All the episodes of Fallout are streaming now on Prime Video. I'm going to take a quick break and be right back. And I'm back. The next thing I have is Alex Garland's latest film. It is called Civil War, and I'm hoping that if you made it this far through the Fallout review that you are open-minded enough to listen to my thoughts on Civil War. You know, I think Alex Garland is a really fascinating figure for me in terms of his filmmaking career. I love Ex Machina. I think it's such a good film. I talked about Annihilation back in the day where, as terms of an adaptation, it wasn't really for me. I think as series devs, there were parts of it I really liked. Men was not for me as well, but when it comes to Civil War, it's funny because it is sort of like an Avengers meetup of all his favorite casting people, and so you see a lot of his familiar faces if you've watched his whole filmography. The premise behind it is, it's not necessarily apocalyptic, but war features heavily into it. America is at war in this, and I will start off with a compliment. I think parts of this are so brilliantly shot. I mean, it's all brilliantly shot, but parts of it in particular, like, oh, the imagery here is, you know, crafted in such a meaningful way. And I give credit where credit is due. The film follows a series of journalists who are documenting the war. Kirsten Dunst is in it, Wagner Mora, Kaylee Spaney, Stephen Henderson, and shout out to Stephen Henderson in it. You know, I think some of the challenges for me is, and this is probably true of real life characters and real life war journalists and photographers and stuff like that. But some of the decision making of the characters is so illogical and so just like this. You want to scream at the screen sometimes. And I know that like we wouldn't have the story without them, but having it being journalists felt like an odd choice. I understand that the idea behind it is it allows them as a film to not take a side and allow you as an audience member to be like, I don't know who's right and who's wrong, but there are lots of elements of this film that feel, it's very clear that this is not written by an American. So the most glaring one to me personally was and this is in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler, but you know, some of the secessionist states of the Civil War are California and Texas. And when it comes to picking ideological partners, there's no world, at least in our modern world, and this is set in our modern world, right? It's not set like 100 years in the future. It's basically set, I don't know, tomorrow probably. You know, California and Texas are not, they are not going to be in a military alliance together. Like that part is, no. And there are just like a bunch of other moments throughout it that I'm like, this is, you know, I don't even know if I want to like this film, but I do respect what this film is trying to do with parts. But there are other parts of it that are just really big detractors for me. So I think the question is, one, do you see this in a theater? Because it is visually an impactful film. I think the sound design as well is intended to be experienced in a, you know, professionally set up setting. But I don't know if I feel the need to recommend it, not because of the visuals per se, but just because of the story itself. I see what they're getting at in so many parts of it. And I think if maybe there had been a co-director or another creative involved, it could have helped bring balance and plus up some of the weaker parts of this, and also like have a woman involved, because you have this female protagonist who I actually really enjoyed. I thought Kirsten Dunst is spectacular in this movie. I actually think all the acting is very good in this movie. Stephen Henderson, like, you can't go wrong. And seeing him on screen, he's such a craftsman. But there are just decisions that I'm like, the additional perspectives are healthy and needed and enhance things versus these sort of like monolithic, unchallenged directors, which I think Alex Garland is starting to become. And I don't know if it's not for me. You know, I think that this will find an audience of almost zealots, which scares me a little bit, which is why also maybe I put it as the second review, because you had to get through the Fallout one first. And the fact that, like, you know, you become a little bit scared of talking about certain directors and some of their more extreme fans, like, that's a little disconcerting to me in terms of who they are speaking to as, you know, a creative. And it's not their intention necessarily, but the way that their stuff works, I'm like, you're finding an audience. I don't know if this is the audience that you intended, but they are, you know, standing for you. I don't think the kids say that anymore. But anyway, Civil War, enough of it was impressive that if you were saying, hey, you know, I really want to go see this, I'm not going to say don't do it. But if you were on the fence about it, it's not a strong recommend for me. I am going to give it a 3 out of 5. The last film I have this week does not involve any apocalypses or wars, thankfully. It is called The Greatest Hits, and it is going to be out on Hulu. And I will not lie, I did not have high expectations going to this film because I hadn't heard a lot about it. And also, it involves time travel. And I have said this before, and I will say it again, time travel is very hard to do. Also, I have a question on whether or not the time travel is actually within her mind or is actually happening, but this is not what this film is about. It doesn't want to explore that. That's totally fine. Let's just go with there's time travel. It centers around a character named Harriet, played by Lucy Boynton, who, unfortunately, her boyfriend dies in a car crash, and she discovers that if she listens to certain songs, she's able to go back in time and try and change or relive out memories with this boyfriend. You know, the songs have to be important to their relationship. And, you know, I don't dislike that as a conceit. As I said, with time travel, lots of questions about the rules and the logic, and they sort of address it for the nerds like me out there. So I was like, okay, you've done enough thought in this part of it that I'm like, all right, we can continue. But then, as she is trying to fix her past in her trauma group, she meets a new man played by Justin Min, who is your new internet boyfriend. I mean, he probably already was your internet boyfriend, but oh, he's just so charming and sweet in this. And she's good as well, but you know, he's on a different grief journey than her. And with her, because she is trying to change and struggle against it so much and may or may not succeed, you know, he is this sort of breath of fresh air of just like, he doesn't have this power, not a spoiler, but you know, I hope that's not a spoiler, but it's just, he is just existing in life and having to deal with grief and trauma, etc. And seeing them come together, I think they actually do have very good chemistry, which is of course what you need for a film like this, because chemistry can save, you know, it can't save any film, but it will destroy every film if you don't have it between your leads. So this is not a time-bending, hardcore sci-fi film. I think we have seen other sort of romantic films centered around time travel before. I think we've seen plenty of films centered around music heavily before. I did enjoy the music. Also, I enjoyed the score of this movie so much. It uses a lot of contemporary actual music, but the way it uses the score, and then I looked up and I realized that the composer is one third of Sun Lux, who did Everything Everywhere All at Once. I was like, ah, this speaks to me. But you know, I think if you're a fan of music, this will be enjoyable. If you're a fan of, I'm not going to call it romantic comedy because it's not, but if you're a fan of like soft romance and just feel good, but also being willing to go through an emotional journey as a byproduct, great. If you are somebody who struggles with science fiction logic, being involved in anything but science fiction and just science fiction in general, I'm going to say you might want to take a health break on this one. But you know, overall, for what it was, I thought it was a sweet, enjoyable watch. I didn't have high expectations going in. I don't want to overhype it for you listening. So, you know, temper your expectations and just go on the journey, listen to the ride. If you don't think it's for you, I'm not going to be like, this is the greatest love story of all time. You have to do it. But especially if you're a Justin Min fan, this is very sweet. I am going to give this a 3.4 out of 5. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.